Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 67. Why take ye thought for the rest? Luke 12:26. If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Life is a really big job, and it seems to be getting bigger. Life is full of opportunities to do what makes us die. That's not as contradictory as it may sound. Every day we have to make decisions that determine our course through the hour in which we live. Larger decisions plot our way through the day, the week, the month, and the year. The decisions that frighten us most are the ones that seal our fate and direction for our entire lives. Decisions about career, education, debt and finance, marriage partners, and childbearing. The sobriety and wisdom required for the decisions of life are only available to those whose maturity and age is far past the date that the decisions are required. When you're 20, you figure out how to handle the bully in grammar school. When you're 30, you can properly decide the direction your education and career should go. When you're 40, you have the sense to pick a bride, etc. Yet all these decisions, right or wrong, were made decades before the level of experience was available. Even the everyday decisions, take this road or that one, go to this place or that one, visit here with these folks or go and spend some time there alone, all these decisions and their consequences can grind on a person to the point of weariness. These everyday decisions steal life away. The predicted consequences of these decisions add pressure to the moment and exacerbate the anxiety so as to render the decision even harder to make, and by virtue of the fact that the decision's now made in worried haste, more than likely, the decision will be wrong. What's more, the decisions extract joy from a person's life by forever dangling the nagging poser, "What if?" at every questionable juncture in life. Life need not be so fragile and teetering that we must fear making the wrong decision. Our lives have only become fragile due to a long line of incorrect directions taken and years of bad decisions made. Our lives are sensitive to trouble because of our bad choices based in flawed and emotional human reasoning. What are we to do? Is there a better place in life for the Christian than this?
What are you looking for? Where is your faith? Why did you doubt? These are some of the most probing questions ever asked. But more significant is who it is that asked them. Jesus, the Son of God. If you want to embark on a spiritual journey that will impact your life, listen to the questions that Jesus asked. Don Harris has written a devotional meditations book entitled On the Questions of Jesus. It examines 150 questions that the Messiah posed. In this 475-page devotional, it shares the revealing questions Jesus asked and the answers given. And as you hear Jesus ask these probing questions to his adversaries, the curious, and his intimate disciples, you'll be challenged to examine your own life in respect to Christ's inquiries. You can purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 1-888-578-7867. That's 1-888-578-7867, or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. Now let's rejoin Don with more on the Questions of Jesus.
Ambition is considered a virtue in the 21st century. Now more is better. What is new is better than what is old. In the modern world, what is the latest is also the greatest. We who have uncoupled ourselves from this speeding train, turned off our TVs, and canceled our newspapers, have a difficult time understanding what all the fuss is about. When the outlook is thoroughly Christian, it's different. Some turned to Christ because life quit making sense. It was not just a matter of getting old. It was a matter of being tired of the same old grind that never seemed to wear away the rough spots in life. Many of us became tired of advancing through life, yet never finding ourselves far enough ahead. Tired of an ever-increasing income, yet seeing it buy even less. We became tired of the high life that ends in death, and we traded it for the lower one that ends in eternal life. For some of us who became older and wiser, ambition was easy to give up, simply because we quit. Outside of the Christian world, this life makes no sense at all. It's fun to teach a child to play tic-tac-toe, but it is nearly impossible to find an adult who will play, because he understands the game too well. After so many games, it becomes a coin flip, not a game of skill. After the game of life is understood, it's hard to continue to play. But what about the young one who still thinks that life offers its bounty only to those who will dig in and try? What of those who think that the right decisions, made at the right time, will produce all the desires of their heart? What of those who think that well-supplied is well-equipped, and that the silver platter of life is only offered to those who work hard for it, and the brass ring is there for the one who reaches out just a little bit farther than all the rest? To merely wait and watch life swallow them would be cruel. I'd rather implore them to learn from Christ the principle of being in the world and not of it. Mostly, they could learn from an example that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Ambition is a characteristic that requires foolhardy, arbitrary, uninformed decision-making. Although it may be human nature to act upon your undesirable circumstances, it's never smart to move in any direction until purpose and objective are known, or at least sensed. There are some who are foolish enough to say, "As long as we're moving, we're not sitting still," as if sitting still is the worst thing that could happen to anyone. There are some for whom ambition has become a drug, just as advancement cannot be determined to be helpful or detrimental until a direction is ascertained. It is extremely important to learn that ambition cannot be defined as good or bad until its source is discovered. It must become apparent that decisions we make within the framework of our own capabilities and unaided reasons are likely to be the wrong ones. Simply put, our desires are never a proper source of ambition. We must heed, obey, and trust the Holy Spirit of God as a faithful guide. Said before, and worthy of repetition, is this: life is made of opportunities to do what makes us die. This opportunity is, namely, decision-making. We naturally fear making the wrong decision because of the consequences, but we should try to avoid the decision itself. For when there's a decision to be made, we are likely in a situation of our own making, created by a prior decision that we should not have made. We're not to make decisions. We are to follow our guide. It's all part of being under a Lord. When a life is free from sin, an inviolate conscience can be trusted. No matter what the outcome of our life's choice is, we have to be obedient. We know when something feels right, when a direction seems the right way to go, when the direction we take cost us money, relationships, or opportunity. We need not fret that it was a wrong one. The Lord may lead us wherever He desires us to go. He's our shepherd. We shall not be in want. Our life is to be led by the Spirit of God, not by our intellect or reason. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. But does not this line of reasoning, the elimination of worldly ambition, work towards laziness, poverty, and slothfulness? At worst, doesn't it work toward foolhardiness or even danger if we don't plan for success or make changes that'll carry us upward in life? After all, couldn't a person go broke if he wasn't driven to succeed? These are matters for each of us to work out inside ourselves. It's a matter of faith and trust. There are some who readily trust Jesus with their death, and yet have no intention of trusting him with their life. There are those who believe that he feeds the fowls of heaven and clothes the grass of the field, but cannot, or will not, believe that he will take care of them. There are those who claim that God has provided them their sustenance through their own strength, will, and ambition. They fear that if they look to him on a daily basis, it would somehow insult him. There are many schools of thought on this matter. Most of the formulas for success, you'll note, ensure that their present income is not lessened by one penny. You need to realize that you're in the hands of a loving God. Whether you're there willingly or unwillingly, whether bound or free, whether in control of your life or not, God alone can protect you. Life has its ways of letting you know that there is no security, no nest egg, no reserve pantry, and no insurance policy that can alleviate the misery that can come in a night. Life only takes on the sweetness of assurance, the fragrance of being in the arms of God, when we've followed him, being led not by our own reasoning, but being led by the Spirit, not by vain ambition or the voices of our peers, but by obedience to his voice alone. We need to transfer our bank accounts to heavenly treasures, trade our barns for his windows of heaven, exchange our trust in our insurance for his blessed assurance. We need to trade the choice for the voice. We need to reject decision-making as a creaturely activity and vain endeavor and determine to do nothing until he makes the right way known to us. Ambition must be rejected as the world's way to advance through life. We are to wait for the voice behind us saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Isaiah 30:21. There are so many things we cannot fix in life, so many things out of our control. Why do we attempt to take on even larger things, make bigger decisions, take greater risks, determining to make our lives better? We cannot prevent a common cold, yet we think we can hold cancer at bay with vitamin pills and hold heart disease in check with medication. We cannot balance our checkbooks, and yet we claim to know which stocks will rise in value. It's vanity to place so much reliance on our ability that blatantly, obviously lacks in so many areas. Ambition reveals itself as vanity. Planning proves to be nothing more than gambling. Protection nothing more than guesswork. Prevention of future trials and troubles, just empty wishes of the fearful. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.